YouTube.
Testing. When I go that far in argumentation debate, but I am going to introduce some subjects for us to debate toward the end, because we're going to actually have to figure out teams. And I'm not sure. I think we'll go ahead and just divide into two teams. But it's going to get exciting. You guys are now going to choose sides, choose weapons, and you have to present and defend your argument. And it may be the side you don't want to be on, but you've got to be on some side. Not all of us can be perfect like Pastor. You have to just... I remember in Bible college, I had to debate and defend the position that the King James Bible was not a perfect English translation. And that was excellent for me, but I had to defend it like a lawyer would. If you ever had a criminal, you know he's guilty, but you got to defend him. And you got to be good at it, all right? And the same thing, you look at this and say, all right, well, I'm just not going to give all the evidence. I'm going to give the evidence that does support my side. That's called an adversarial style of attacking the issue so that the truth comes out. You need two adversaries ripping all the things so what's left is the truth. And that's what we're going to get at, okay? Because everybody here can call the kettle black. We can all say this is the truth. But we need to actually allow cross-examination, take it apart, because if it's true, it can stand. Now, no Muslim will allow you to question their core truths. But I'll allow you to question anything. Did Jesus really exist? I mean, do you really believe in 6 days God created everything? Sure. Ask away. Because truth stands under scrutiny. So that's what we're going to learn in debate. So now we're going to pick up the Toulmin model of debate. And then next week I'll actually talk to you about finding evidence and to back up your side. Cross-examining yourselves. One of the things that you'll do... All right, let me go ahead and get ahead. Is it getting cool in here, or am I just... Yes, I see the wind.
I don't need that.
All right. Perfect. I think it's great. Unless it's out. No, it's full. That don't want it. Well! You want to get that that heater that's back there, or is it in here?
It's here.
No, it's not working. Worked last night. What is this?
Let's go again.
Just put it over there by the female occupants of this room. Anyway, what I was saying was, when you develop your arguments, right, there is a body of evidence for your side, okay? You both are going to be presenting your evidence. And when you look at this model, okay, you're going to have a claim that your side is correct. And then you're going to have evidence. But how do you know that your evidence... I mean, both of you are going to make claims or counterclaims. And you both are going to have evidence. Do evolutionists have any evidence for what they believe? Well, they do have some. Okay? They do. And they both sometimes look at the same evidence, but through different eyes and through different viewpoints. Through different glasses of how you interpret the evidence. Sometimes it's the same evidence looked at from different ways. When you go and you look at your claim and you have your evidence, the thing before you ever come to the debate, the people, let's say this side over here, your one claim, you're the opposite side. You say no. You say we believe it. You say that's impossible. Okay. Each one of you have to look at your evidence and examine it. You guys are on one side, you're on the other. You can't just say, well, we believe it. No, you have to ask, well, what are they going to challenge us on? How do we prove our evidence is right, okay? So in debate, this is how you prepare to speak to somebody who's antagonistic, scoffers, they just mock. You have to have a reason of the hope that lieth in you, Peter says. You have to, before you ever stand up and preach, can you imagine somebody standing up and preaching and saying, I don't know if it's really true. I kind of lean towards it being true, the Bible and the Bible's message, but I'm not sure. Somebody who gets up and preaches had better make sure that what they're preaching is true. You understand what I'm saying? And when you are presenting your debate, and your side of the debate, you have to be very prepared and very thorough in evaluating your evidence. So we're going to look at how you do that, okay? So I think I stopped on D, is that right, for some reason, or did I get down to Roman numeral 4? I have a tick mark. All right, well, let me just do D here at the top of the page. As has already been said, you will mostly use inductive logic. What is inductive logic? Noel, he's looking it up.
Inductive theory.
Go ahead.
Basically, it's just theory. There's no proof.
Okay, inductive is what's internally known. I mean, I see the Bible, and the Bible seems to say it's true. It's inductive. Deductive is what, Barry?
Deductive is just proof, one plus one equals two.
Okay, because you can actually take one apple and another apple, because you can actually do it externally. Okay, you can actually do it visually. Deductive reasoning is verifiable. Inductive feels right. Okay, you will mostly use inductive logic when you're debating morals. All right, now I use a lot of deductive logic. I move into both territories. If I want to validate like the validity of slapping or spanking a child, I use deductive logic as well as inductive. I know what I needed when I was their age. That's inductive logic. But I need deductive. I need reports that show that the adverse effect of not showing a child where a limit is and applying a measure of pain to the crossing of that and show that where children end up when they have no strong influence over their life. Only, don't do that. Now I'm counting to 20. It doesn't help a child. All right, they need just boom. What did I do wrong? Good. Now you understand. Daddy's in charge, not you. You will mostly use inductive logic when making arguments in policy debates, since you'll be dealing with situations in which it is impossible to come to certain conclusions. But just because you will be using inductive logic doesn't mean that there aren't logical rules that you follow. Modern British philosopher Stephen Toulmin recognized that people often cannot follow strict guidelines of deductive logic, and so he created a model to explain rational construction of everyday arguments. His model is very helpful for debaters to follow, particularly in policy debates, like politics and emotions. Let's look at his model. He has identified six parts of a rational argument: claim, data, warrant, backing, qualifications, and conditions of rebuttal. Rational arguments sometimes consist of all six, but every part is not necessary to make a rational argument. Only the first three, claim, data, and warrant, are considered essential. So claim. The claim is the argument you're trying to prove. Let's use the following claim as an example. Homeschool students receive a higher quality academic education than public school students, national school. Now, I generally believe that. All right? Data. Just because you made a claim doesn't mean you've won the argument. Okay? You need to support the claim with evidence that helps prove the argument. How are you going to show that homeschool students' education is academically better than public school students? You might use standardized achievement tests as a way to results and a way to measure the results of your claim. So you might say, well, homeschool students in the U.S. and Canada score 15 to 30 percentile points on average above their public school peers. This is true not only in the basis of reading, writing, and mathematics, but also in science, social studies, and study skills. So, debaters use quotations from printed sources to provide the data for their claims. Here, you are using material from published studies. What are you using? Deductive evidence to prove an inductive proof. This, the use of quotations from printed sources is what debaters call evidence. All right? So when I call this evidence, now, let's do this way. All right? I made a claim, and I have all of this evidence. Do I want to present all of this evidence against all of their evidence? That's not a debate.
What do you mean present?
Okay. I need to present what's called pertinent or
best evidence.
I'm looking for salient. I'm looking for just the important data I want. Let's just do it this way. So I'm going to push to the front the data that really presents my evidence. There's a whole lot of evidence for what the claim is, to back up the claim. But I'll use specific data, all right, that to prove my point. The amount of evidence you need to give to justify your data will vary with your audience. If you're speaking at a homeschool convention where everybody believes in homeschool, you won't have to put much evidence out, would you? Mm-hmm. All right? You may not even need to explicitly state your data. However, at a convention of the National Education Association, which is like the National Irish Teachers Association, the union here, it would be hard-pressed to convince them that homeschool students are better off. You may have to provide a significant amount of detailed evidence to prove your point. In a debate round, you should provide evidence to back up anything that is not self-evident. It is daytime. What is that? That is a self-evident fact. I don't have to prove it. I don't have to call Greenwich, England, and find out what time it is. I mean, it's evident it's daytime. All right? So anything that's not self-evident, I may have to back up. Warrant, believe. After providing the evidence, the data, to support your argument, you must provide a warrant for connecting data to the claim. You ever been in an argument and somebody says something, you go, what does that have to do with anything, all right? Somebody may need to connect the dots, okay? The warrant acts like a bridge between the claim and the data. How do we know that achievement test scores are an accurate way to measure the quality of academic education? As a matter of fact, in America, this is a huge argument all the time over homeschool versus national schools and things. And what has happened is homeschool students are usually 15 to 30% much more academically advanced than national schools. And so national schools will say, testing doesn't prove your point. What are they doing? They know they've lost on that data point. They know that your data, that homeschool students do better in the leading certs, in the junior certs, they know that they do better, but that's not really qualified. The real proof is in, and then they come up with new sets of data and warrants. They'll attack your links that you're setting up. You're saying, this proves it, and they'll go, that doesn't prove anything. You're looking at it, what? But that's what their goal is. They have to attack your evidence because the evidence damns them. So, a warrant. You might say, well, achievement test scores are an excellent measure of academic achievement and a quality education. Thus, you provided a reason that your data is accurate to measure the validity. So if I said, all right, my claim is, we're still using homeschool, my claim is homeschooling is better than going to a national school. But I get out and on my warrant, my bridges, I'll say, because they eat less fats. Okay. You have to tell me nutrition, eating less fats, is a reason why you should homeschool your kids, okay? You have to warrant that evidence. You have to prove that evidence is really valid or relevant, is the word. So right next down to the word warrant, write relevance. And then backing. Your warrant may provide a logical connection between your claim and your data, but in the world of debate, as well as society as large, people would demand hard evidence to support your reason. Just as debaters use evidence to provide data for their claim, they also use material from published sources to provide backing for their warrants. So you might say, well, according to the National Education Association's article Measuring Academic Success, achievement test scores are the only accurate way to measure academic evidence. What did I just do? I used their source to prove my argument. I come in, I have all of this evidence, and one of my evidences is something that they've already acknowledged is true. All right? That's called backing. And you need as much backing evidence, not just evidence that you like and that backs it up, that you come up with, but go into their side and learn, find out they already know this stuff. So when you make a claim and you present data, use their data. Okay? So when somebody, you want to say about spanking, and you're dealing with somebody who believes that you never slap or spank a child, then you bring up some heathen pagan guy who says, man, I wish my parents had spanked me when I was a child because it sure would have kept me out of trouble. Just quote that. And you go, huh, you're a guy who's so against it, Dr. Spock, Benjamin Spock. He's the one who said, don't touch a child, let the child work out their own angst and their own frustrations on the floor and they'll be a better children. You know what he said at the end of his life? He said, I ruined two generations of people by my philosophies that destroyed homes. Quote him. Bring him up, man.
What's the name of Star Trek?
No. Benjamin Spock. They probably used Spock's name. Benjamin Spock's name for Spock and Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Backing. As in providing evidence for your data, you should provide backing for any warrant that is not self-evident. Backing support. Another aspect of providing backing in a debate round is being prepared to provide further information about all the evidence you introduced into the round. So you make all this data, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you better have reference and even extra information. This may be the data you present, but it ought to draw from even more evidence that you have. You ought to have so much more evidence than what you're stating at the point, okay? Somebody says, why do you believe the King James Bible? I might give you 4 reasons, but I have about 400 more. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I just may use 4 at that point with that person. So somebody might ask, who is Brian Ray? Because he made the quote, and what are his credentials? And to this day, I mean, I love Kent Hovind, but I it's very hard for me to use Kent Hovind as a valid proof to somebody about creation and evolution, because he's in jail. Because he didn't pay his taxes. He's disqualified himself. And that hurts me, because he's one of the best speakers on the creation and evolution debate. But the point is, you know, if you use evidence, you have to have backing that when they start to go in, well, who is this guy? Well, he was a public school teacher and he never homeschooled. I can't use, you know, some things that are from the other side if I'm twisting it. I'm not giving you a good illustration.
But not, like that doesn't really affect it. But like, just if what he says is true.
No. Actually, I'm just telling you, people don't care about truth. They attack everything they can, and they can attack the character of the witness.
Your credibility is everything.
Yeah, and so always give your best evidence. All right? I mean, Kent Hovind was my first line all the time. And now I still give out his CDs. I still, his DVDs and things. But I also know that they'll go on the internet and they'll find out, you know, he's in jail. And that he believed that you shouldn't pay taxes and things. And he stood up for what he believed, praise God, but he lost his ministry. His stand cost him his ability to continue to teach on creation and evolution.
Isn't that like an invalid argument?
It is an invalid. They're changing the rules in debate. But in formal debate, Kent Hovind is a valid point. But in informal, if I'm just going on talking to somebody, I say, here, this will prove that creation is true. They'll read it. Watch it, then they'll go to the internet, and then they'll throw it away.
Yeah,
because that will influence their ability to believe the evidence.
Right.
That is, the backing is flawed. That's what I'm saying. You made a claim, you showed evidence, data, but you're backing. And you've made a warrant, you said, this proves it, this guy, you've connected him, your listener, to the evidence. But the backing, the foundation of that man, Kent Hovind, fails, and they'll throw it away. And you got to be careful that you've got more evidence than just Kent Hovind. And that you don't put them up as your first line, all right? So you understand, this gets serious, right? When we give, when you're giving the gospel out, it's got to be, man, you don't say, just look at my life. And they'll go, I've been watching you. You ain't nothing. Your life is not the proof that Christianity works.
It's the same
way. It's a good testimony, but don't let them look too close.
It's
sorry?
It's the same with Rockman. You know,
yeah.
He's said some good things, you know, but when you look at his life overall,
if you're trying to use him as a model as, oh, this is the Christian when he's been divorced three times.
That's right. Well, two times. He's married three times.
There's, you know, straight away his credibility is gone. You know, you can't really use him.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't look to him to be backing up points against some really strong...
Nope. Very few people, very few people are comfortable. I've learned a lot from him. I've learned a lot from lots of different people. But he fails on the backing. I mean, you look at what he's done and the fruit of his life. It's like, man, he's blown it. And it's a shame because he had such data, such evidence, and then fell apart. But just beware, you're next. The devil will make sure you're invalidated. So we got to keep our lives right.
But no longer forgiven, so you still have the right to stand.
You do. And you can just, in a debate, people will find a reason to not accept your data. On the basis of backing. They'll go, well, who is this guy that you're quoting? That's what people will ask.
But can't you use it as a you're forgiven?
Well, you certainly can. You can, but that is not a valid point in evidence, all right? Let's just use an illustration where you're in a courtroom and the lawyers are debating on whether somebody's guilty of a crime, and they bring in somebody who is giving evidence that that this person did murder, okay, or did this crime. Well, the other side is going to ask and says, how credible is this witness? Well, they've got 15 counts. They've been in prison three times as well. Can we trust their... Well, they've gotten all through. They're all through with their court cases. You know, the evidence is tainted in the minds of your jury or your judge. So you look for the best evidence first. That's our point. And backing has to be very strong in the debate. You can pull anybody, okay? But you better be careful that your backing or your foundation, the background evidence, okay, is what's going to be looked at. They may hear your data, but they're going to want to know, well, where'd you get that data? Who said it? Are they credible? Right. When did they say it? In 1629? They want something that's more up to date, so on and so forth, all right? Mm-hmm. These are things that most people don't think about. But this is, if you're going to preach, if I get up, I'm very careful about who I quote. You ever notice that? I just don't quote and say, D.L. Moody says this. It's not that I don't like D.L. Moody, but I'd rather just be biblical. Right. All right? And I do quote from certain different people. I have, Peter Ruckman or Ken Holvine, the whole gambit of a number of people, Jack Hiles. But I do it very little because... Somebody says, oh, who's Jack Hiles? And they get on the internet and they go, oh, all right, there's that. Oh, who's Peter? Oh, you're going to find dirt on anybody, especially on the internet. So let's just, you know, Schofield, his wife left him. All right. Then he got saved and, praise God, amen. Wrote some excellent notes on the Bible. I disagree with him on the gap theory and on one other thing. But on that, he's great. My point is if somebody starts, I get people say, why would you hand out Schofield Bibles? This is a pretty good Bible. Well, you know, he got divorced. Yeah. But you see what they're doing? They're finding a fault. And they can. And I know he's forgiven. That's not a bother with me. But my point is, they're just finding fault. And I'm kind of, I have to have an answer ready for them.
You know, a lot of time when people are finding fault with the man is because
they don't want to look at the other evidence.
They want to avoid themselves, too.
That's right. Yep. All right. Qualifications, F. Sometimes added qualifications can make your claim stronger. Qualifications are exceptions to the rule. When you give qualifications or use qualifying language, you are allowing for exceptions to the rule stated in your claim. Which of the following claims do you think is more defensible? A. Most homeschool students receive a better academic education than most public school students. Or B. Every homeschool student receives a better academic education than every public school student. Which one of those is more easily defensible?
A.
Obviously. All right. The second claim uses stronger language than the first, but is harder to prove since you must prove that your claim is universally true. So you have to allow for exceptions. You can't say, my claim is perfectly right. It is unalterable. It is immutable. You can't do that. So your claim cannot be all-encompassing. You have to allow for exceptions. Does that make sense? Okay? I don't believe every child has to be spanked every day. Okay? I don't believe they have to be spanked every week, every month even. But that child ought to know that in their past, when they disobeyed a clear instruction, they got a spanking. I'm just using an illustration of it, okay? They ought to know that. Some of my kids, I think Ruth probably got, she needed more, But she probably got spanked a total of 24 times in her entire life. Okay? Maybe it should have been more, I think. I'm now debating and regretting. Now, Joel, 24, amen. Joshua, I don't know. Joshua's pretty cool. Joshua's very good. Sarah, again, very good. Sharon, not many at all. My point is, depends on the kid. Depends on the nature and stuff. But I don't say that, you know, I'm just dealing with spanking. We call it spanking. You know, spanking here in Ireland is different. Slapping a child. That you can't say spank. You must spank every child as if, like, you have to beat them every day before they get up for breakfast. You can't say that. So you got to allow for exceptions. There may be kids who never need a slap on the behind. They never do because they grew up seeing their older brother getting slapped. And that got them. And they went, I never want to be like them. And sometimes just a cross look from dad got them. That was great. But boy, if you're dealing with a strong-willed child, I mean, I am not going to do what you say. You gotta work with them strongly. So qualifications. The second claim uses stronger language than the first, but it is harder to prove since you must prove that your claim is universally true unless you can observe or compile data of every single instance, like academic achievement of every single public and homeschool student in the world. You should not make a universal claim. By adding the qualifying word most to the first claim, you've strengthened its defensibility, although you're still claiming that homeschool students receive a better education in general than public school students. And you're allowing for the fact that some public school students receive a better education than some homeschool students. So, now conditions of rebuttal. Conditions of rebuttal refer to anything in your argument that would allow someone to attack or weaken your argument. Qualifications help narrow or eradicate conditions of rebuttal. Even with qualifications, nearly every argument you make in a debate round will have conditions of rebuttal for which you must be prepared. What does that mean? Think about the Bell argument. Can you think of any conditions of rebuttal that you would use if you were taking an opposing position, perhaps arguing that public school and homeschool students receive an equal education, or that public education is superior to home education? You might attack the warrant by saying that test scores aren't the only measure. That's called a condition of rebuttal. You're allowed to attack my warrant. You might attack the backing. Perhaps the National Home Education Research Institute is an organization that is biased. You might say, well, the research that you're giving is biased. All right, that is allowed. If they're you're allowing them, sure, my evidence, you're allowed to attack my evidence. But if they say, you're fat, that has nothing to do with the argument. They're attacking you. It doesn't fit, all right? Where were you born? That does not matter, you know? So as you progress through this text, learning how to structure a debate case and formulate arguments, keep the Toulmin model in mind. Ask yourself if you have at least a claim, data, and warrant. What is a warrant? Your relevance, your resources. You have data, but you make it relevant. Again, like I say, the warrant is what is most important. You just don't bring up facts and just throw them out there. Okay, a lot of people preach, and they'll say all kinds of weird stuff. Whereas you're like, what is that warrant? What is that proving?
A warrant for your arrest.
Well, a warrant.
They say, look, this is the reason why we're going to, like,
yes,
search your home. Or,
that's right. They have to have a clear,
relevant
target. Okay, they can say, we're coming to your house. Why? Because we want to. No, give me a warrant. Give me an actual reason. Okay. Ask whether you need additional backing or should qualify your arguments. Finally, ask yourself what are the conditions of rebuttal that will be in order to prepare yourself for possible lines of attack. So what are you doing? You're preparing for their arguments against you and what you're prepared for. Now, there are many kinds of logical fallacies. And unfortunately, I'm going to go ahead for another 10 minutes and we'll stop. No, I won't. We'll stop there because I want to talk to you about our possible debate subjects. Now, I already talked about one of them here. Around there. And let me have one of them, I think, I hold on to. There you go. Oh, there's two more for you. All right. So now the ones that are going to, that I think that I will allow in the class are the first seven. And then there are a lot of others we'll talk about, but very briefly, the following points can be debated in class. By next week, I want us to really focus on one of them and see if we can come up with a consensus of what we're going to debate. But think about, is the death penalty for today? I'm not asking, for your opinion now, but there may be two very diverging opinions in here. Great, that's what I want. Let's go for blood. Is the death penalty for today? B, is it right for parents to slap or spank their children? C, is global warming occurring? D, some of us want to deal with all these debates, amen? D, is it better to be single or married? Well, that's depressing. is abortion ever right? Did you notice I put in there ever? Mm-hmm. Okay. Do works have any part in a person's salvation? We can debate that if you wanted to take on the works-based. And does the Bible teach a young earth or old earth creationism? Those are the ones where I'm going to allow you to debate. There are other ones. If you were in that debate society, you might debate on whether animals should be researched, used in research. You know what they used to do before women ever put lipstick on? They used to drop the chemicals into the eyes of rabbits. All the chemicals they would use on a woman's face, they first dropped into the eye of a rabbit. This is what they did just up to about 20 years ago. They used to put it in, and if the rabbit screamed, they went, "Oh, we can't use that." It's a good indicator. And rabbits scream like little kids. I mean, so that's how they tested all this stuff that women put on their face, man. The cologne that guys use on their arms. What'd you say?
When they tested on the lips of the rabbits.
They didn't put it on the lips. They tested them on the eyes. They had thousands of rabbits and they would just test them on the eyes. It's just a horrible thought. But they debate on should animals be used in research. And by the way, I would rather a rabbit scream than a woman. I really would. But anyway, bioengineered foods, should we eat those? And by the way, we already are. Curfew laws, are those things appropriate? Which I believe are. But anyway, genetic engineering, is that ever acceptable? They've messed around. They've made apples glow in the dark because they've taken the genes out of these glow-in-the-dark fish and they put them in apple genetics and the apple glows in the dark. That's called genetic engineering. Should we have a minimum wage? That's a very appropriate question, honestly. How do you get people back to work? Allow people to work for €2 if they want to, an hour. Minimum wage. Now people say, well, if you do that, then everything collapses, which is true. But what do you want to do to get the economy going again? Nuclear proliferation, should people be allowed to, should nations be allowed to, get into the nuclear age? Professional athlete salaries, I think it's an abomination for them to be able to make 100 million euros. I think it's wrong. But they say, well, they've earned it. Legalization of marijuana, that's a big one. Should you legalize a drug if it has health benefits? Lowering the drink age to whatever. You see, I'm just telling you, people debate these things all the time. Every newspaper article you read is at least one side of a debate. Sometimes they show both sides. But they are all debating all of these subjects. Should prayer be promoted in school, or should schools be sterile? No religion at all. Should embryonic stem cells be used in medical research, which I'm totally against, my own personal thing. They have adult stem cells, and they've got 78 cures from adult stem cells. They've got zero cures from embryonic stem cells. That's from aborted fetuses. What is real love? They debate that. At what point does human life begin? Is it possible for a man to be moral without religion? That's what people debate. I'm just giving you a taste of things, but I want you to look at those seven and see which ones you like, and next week we'll actually try to narrow it down. Okay? All right. Any questions about those top seven? Like, do you understand?
How are we going to choose?
We'll just ask you. You guys circle the ones that you like, and then we'll narrow it down, and then you'll have to go with consensus. If five of you go for is global warming occurring, then that's what we'll do. It'll be the majority, and then we'll pick sides. Okay, that's how it's the only way to do it. Okay, majority rule.
So we can canvas for this week.
Come on, please.
You'll pick the team you send faster.
I will pick and say, look, if we took, is the death penalty? I'll ask, all right, who's for it, who's against it? I'll ask first, who's for which? And then based on that, then, okay, well, Graham, you got to go over here because only Eddie's against it, so I'll have to pick up team. So I'll probably be the final decider on who's on what team. Okay. It's the only way to do it. I don't know any other way. If we get something lame, you guys aren't going to be passionate about it. So we got to get some strong stuff and get some fun stuff, okay?
Is it like biblical? Is it like, are we debating about the Bible? Or, like, obviously, global warming is nothing to read through the Bible, is it?
I think it does. I think the Christian, but no, you will use Bible and you will use evidence. So anything that's interesting, I want you, obviously I want to get you better prepared. I have a biblical worldview that affects what I see about global warming.
Yeah.
Okay? And I believe it's going to get very hot here. Hint, hint. There was no Big Bang, but there is going to be a Big Bang. Okay? So I actually, I believe that the sun, I don't believe global warming is actually occurring. I believe pollution is occurring. But I don't believe global warming is occurring in a big way. I'm giving you already kind of evidence, things, forgive me. But, you know, but there is something to be said with we ought to take care of our environment. The Bible says we should. So you're going to have two different viewpoints of what the Bible says about how we're supposed to take care of the earth. But how far do you go? Is it really occurring? And so you're going to have to use evidence. That's kind of an interesting, sterile thing. It doesn't have much Bible, but it'll have some evidence. So it'll be cute. Kind of interesting. See, do some research. Go and do some stuff on the internet. Find out what each one of these sides are and try to decide on what you would be interested in. Okay?
Are you
going to
judge who wins the debate? Or who's going to judge it?
I'm not sure if I'll have, I'll probably have, on the debate, I'll probably have two other people with me to evaluate, and then we'll determine who did the better side, okay, because I'll give the qualifications on who debated. And it's not only how you debate, but whether your evidence was very convincing. Because the idea of debate is not performance. What is the idea of debate?
Persuasion.
Persuasion. You want to persuade. You, okay? All right, let's stand.